So has Crown been getting favourable treatment from the government?
Well, look, casinos generally in Australia tend to get favourable treatment from governments. Why is a difficult question to answer, but there's no doubt that the gambling industry in Australia is big, it's very powerful, it has very good political connections, and it does appear to get away with a lot that any normal industry might struggle to achieve.
Do you think the current gambling regulatory bodies in Australia are too weak?
I think they're too weak. I think their framework of regulation in Australia is also too weak. It's largely dependent on self-regulation using a concept called responsible gambling. Now, you know, I hope your listeners don't frequent pokey venues, but if you do, you know that it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people who are not gambling very responsibly and that the venues themselves are promoting irresponsible gambling, even though they're supposed to be acting in the best interests of their patrons at all times. I think it's pretty clear that there's been a number of scandals, not just involving Crown, but also huge organisations like ALH, which is a subsidiary of Woolworths and the largest poker machine operator in Australia, who were, you know, busted basically enticing people to gamble, giving them free drinks, finding out facts and details about them so that they could milk people more efficiently. So, you know, what we're looking at is a system which is broken, a regulator or a set of regulators around Australia who are, you know, insufficiently resourced and don't have the ability really to be able to monitor everything they need to monitor, and a gambling industry which is very happy to take advantage of that.
Now, many hotels and gambling providers would say that they put warnings on their machines and they do their best to sort of, you know, curb the influence of gambling. Do you think that is not far enough?
It's laughable. I mean, the reality is that, for example, in New South Wales, you can go into any club and you can bet $100 a spin on what they call a multi-terminal gambling machine, which is essentially an electronic casino-type game. You can bet $10 every 2.3 seconds in New South Wales on a poker machine. You can lose $1,200 an hour. These places are open in some cases, you know, 20 hours a day. They're like suburban casinos with literally hundreds and hundreds of machines in them. Now, you know, that is not a responsible offering of gambling. New South Wales, people betting on in pubs and clubs in New South Wales lost $6.8 billion on poker machines last year. You know, that is insane. That is an insane amount of gambling. That's more gambling per capita than anywhere else on earth. And Australia leads the world in per capita gambling expenditure because we have far more gambling opportunities and they are far more unrestrained than anywhere on earth. Putting a warning sign on a poker machine saying be responsible, which is effectively what it boils down to, is very ineffective, to put it mildly.
Now, Crown has been embroiled in a scandal involving Chinese organised crime, money laundering and fast-track visas for Chinese gamblers. How do Crown's actions fit into the wider context? Is what it's doing unusual or is it sort of a standard business practice?
Well, it depends what you regard as a standard business practice. I mean, you know, if you're a mafia-run casino in Nevada, then that's probably pretty standard. I mean, you know, we are supposed to have high standards of probity in Australia. And, you know, I should stress these are allegations at this point, and Crown has, you know, heatedly refuted them. But the reality is that casinos globally are known to be hotbeds of criminal activity. They are magnets for money laundering, and they're fantastic places if you've got a lazy, you know, billion or so to wash through a, you know, a money laundering machine. Well, casinos are the place to do it. And, you know, this is well known. And so what it means is that the regulatory regime that should be in place needs to be top class. And I think it's pretty obvious that certainly in Victoria, where the VCGLR, the Victorian Commission for Gambling and Liquor Regulation, is supposed to be keeping an eye on Crown and all the other gambling operators, it simply doesn't have the resources to do that. And we've known that for a very long time. I mean, money laundering, criminal activity, all sorts of, you know, pretty appalling practices have been known to go on at this casino and other Australian casinos ever since they were opened. But the regulators have never had enough power and they never had enough resources to actually act effectively to curb it. So that's the problem. And, you know, I would go one step further and say that the real problem is that gambling operators are so politically well connected in Australia that the regulators not being able to achieve what they're supposed to set out is exactly what the politicians, for the most part, want to happen.
Well, the Liberal and Labor parties have voted against a Royal Commission into this particular scandal, and many governments have promoted the economic benefit of gambling in the past. Do you think there is political will to deal with scandals like this and some of the underbelly of gambling and casinos in this country?
Well, so far, no, but I think there is a growing concern, certainly amongst the crossbench and amongst more progressive elements in both the Labor and the Liberal parties, that the gambling industry in Australia is really quite out of control and needs to be reined in. Now, unfortunately, the gambling industry, as I said, is politically very well connected. It makes very significant donations to both sides of politics. And, you know, there's also the problem of the revolving door of politicians. I mean, former politicians and senior public servants end up working for or on the boards of these organisations and have enormous influence and a capacity to communicate with their former colleagues in the interests of their new employers, the gambling industry. So, you know, until we clean up all of those issues, so it's political donations, we need to have a federal ICAC, there can be little doubt. The gambling industry alone demonstrates why that's necessary. And we need to stop former politicians in particular, but also senior public servants, from working for these outfits for a considerable period of time after they leave politics so that they can't exploit their great connections. Then we might start to see the business being cleaned up. Happily, there is growing support, certainly in the community, and I think politically, for that to happen. But sadly, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for it to happen.
Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.